Brother Larry's asked us to read from 1 Timothy chapter 4, first 16 verses, 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 16. Just like to make a comment about the book of Ruth. It's one of the most important books for our day. The typology there is just phenomenal. Pictures Israel scattered among the nations and all the horrible things that happened to Israel. It, in typology, shows us the call of God to bring his people back home. It shows that during that time, God, while the Jews have been scattered, God concentrates on a bride for his son. And all of this is in typology in the book of Ruth. But there's one thing in particular, chapter 3, verse 3. You know, if we want to serve God, we have to do what Ruth was told to do. See, this is a Jewish woman telling a Gentile woman how to get a Jewish husband. And that's exactly what the Jewish apostles taught the Gentiles, how to become, get into that relationship with Jesus Christ. But in verse 3 of chapter 3 of Ruth, wash yourself, anoint yourself, and put raiment on you. And those are the three things that we must do in order to serve God. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We know the anointing is a picture of the Holy Spirit. You know you not that your body is the temple of God? The Spirit of God dwells in you. And then the putting on a raiment, of course, that would refer Matthew 22, the garment of salvation. But it also in Revelation, the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And literally in the Greek, that's referring to the righteous acts, the righteous works, the righteous deeds of the saints, which also would include obedience, total obedience and commitment to the Word of God. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Hope I didn't interrupt your thoughts there, Larry. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You get that? What we see going on in church today in the broad stream is because of seducing spirits and satanic doctrine. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods, meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let us kneel as we pray.
Good morning. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has all power in heaven and in earth. The title of the message this morning will be Keepers of the Commandments. And in line with the title, I don't know why the Lord laid it on my heart, for this morning. We're going to talk about the sister's head covering as we get into the heart of the message, not just right away. But as I so often do, the text verses that I would have picked out of this portion of Scripture would be verses 11 and 16, two verses. These things command and teach. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. As I so often do when preparing for a message, I keep my dictionary handy. It's an 11th edition Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary, copyrighted 2005. I checked that out after I looked up the definition of commandment, because it kind of surprised me. Here's a definition the dictionary gave. Commandment, a command, order, then there was a semicolon, any of the Ten Commandments, and that was it. I thought, wow, that's a pretty neat definition coming out of a secular dictionary. I then picked up my Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, and commandment there is a law, an edict, or a statute, specifically one of the Ten Commandments given by God through Moses. Pretty much the same. So we see in that definition that the Ten Commandments are given by God. They're a guide given to us, His creation, for us to follow and to live as He wants us to live. They're part of the covenant between God and His people, often referred to as a Decalogue, from the Greek word which means 10 words. They originate from God Himself and His eternal character. Exodus 31:18 says, and speaking of God, He gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with Him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. They come straight from the finger of God. Therefore, their moral value will not and cannot ever change. And they are as relevant today as they were when they were given thousands of years ago. But you know, God never intended that the Ten Commandments should be a set of regulations by which people could earn salvation. For the people of Israel or the Christians today, salvation is only received by the work of Jesus Christ. Those in the Old Testament looked forward to His coming. Today we have the blessing of having His work recorded in the pages of Holy Scripture, and we must accept the sacrifice that He made for our everlasting salvation. And I wonder, since we have the complete Word of God with us, if we're going to be held more accountable than those even of the Old Testament. Jesus reinforces the Ten Commandments in the New Testament. You know the Scriptures where Jesus said, Ye have heard that it hath been said, but I say unto you, re-emphasizing the commandments of God. And as we go through the New Testament, there are numerous other commandments given. Probably the most popular is found in John 13, verses 34 and 35, where Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Then in John 14, 21, He says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Also over in John 15, starting at verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And my prayer is that we would keep the commandments of the New Testament, and certainly not become divided by them. I'd like you to try to tuck these scriptures in your mind as we get into the heart of the message. First, the ones we just went over, as well as these. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." And still more admonition is given in Revelation chapter 3, verses 3 and 11. "Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Behold, I will come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." I share these verses with you because I feel like we need to be vigilant. We need to be on our guard. We dare not let down our guard. And may I say that I see trouble looming on the horizon. My understanding of Scripture is that holding fast does not leave room for exceptions or concessions to be made when it comes to doctrinal issues. But before we spend time on that, I want to look more at the Scriptures that was read this morning, that Brother George read, 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2 again. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." I don't think I need to remind us that we're living in the latter times. We read here that there will be those that depart from the faith. Brother George alluded to that fact, because of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And I ask, do they know it? And I think for the most part, they do not. They are deceived, and that is the devil's strong point. A deceiver. He wants to deceive even to the very elect. Seducing spirits teach us we need to be tolerant. We need to love people no matter their choice of lifestyle. It's happening all around us in our day. I don't need to remind us of it. If we don't accept people the way they are, then we are the ones that have a problem. We are the ones that are wrong, they say. It's the voice of seducing spirits. Their conscience is seared, it says, with a hot iron. To sear means to cook, burn, or scorch. And I would have to say there's a lot of people that are cooked. You can read what happens to those types of people in Romans chapter 1, the downward spiral of man into sin, which happens by first of all laying aside the commandments of Scripture that seemingly aren't necessary, or maybe aren't as necessary as some. Verse 3 says that they forbid to marry and command to abstain from meats. Couples shack up together today without the commitment of the marriage covenant, more so than ever has been done before. It amazes me how many people just simply live together. Then we have the vegan movement. They used to be called vegetarians, those that refrained from meats. Somehow along the line, it turned into the vegan movement. Those that refrain from eating meats and command others to abstain from meats also. I know we think that the medical world has made great strides in the area of what we can eat and what it does in our bodies. And I believe they have. I think that is true. God has allowed knowledge in those areas to increase. In our day, even the doctors tell us to stay away from red meats. But if I understand Scripture right, my Bible in these next few verses does not back that up at all. And being one that has cattle on the farm, I'd kind of like to see each person eat their healthy share of beef. So I'm telling you not to abstain from meats. Verse 3 says, "Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature is of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer." The old saying is that you can do it and you can overdo it. Temperance is one of the marks of a true Christian. And I'll never forget, it was impressed on my mind years ago as Brother Robert Yeo made the statement, "It's not what we eat, but it's how much we eat." And I think this portion of Scripture would back that statement up. Whatever we eat needs to be received with thanksgiving. More and more people are going to the table without sitting down first and giving thanks for the food. That's why it's a good, honorable, and a biblical act to sit down and give thanks at every meal, no matter where we're at, for the meal before we eat it. Verse 4 says that every creature of God is good. It doesn't necessarily say every plant here. It talks about creatures. There are some that I wouldn't care to eat. But if there's one phrase in this portion of Scripture that I want us to remember, we look at the latter part of verse 7, where it says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And tuck that in the back of your mind. And like I say, my prayer is that we will be keepers of the commandments. While visiting Brother Charles Lehigh shortly before he went home to be with the Lord, as was the case when you visited Brother Charles, he certainly got around to the doctrines of the Scripture. And he asked me to speak on the distinctive doctrines of the brethren. I've been trying to honor that request from time to time. And this morning I want to focus on the head covering for our sisters. Not only for Brother Charles' sake, but verse 6 here says that we are to put the brethren in remembrance of these things. And I've recently been hearing numerous comments about the head covering, the styles of coverings, and so on. And I want to make this clear right out of the gate here that I have nothing against anyone who fulfills this scripture in the way scripture needs it to be fulfilled. I'm not pointing my finger at anyone in particular, and I'm not pointing my finger at any group in particular. And I want that understood. This is not just for sisters, as we brethren need to step up to the plate and support our sisters in this area in the keeping of the commandment of the wearing of the head covering. We know where the doctrine comes from, where it's taught from, 1 Corinthians 11, the first 16 verses. We're not going to take time to read those verses. We hear them read often, at least twice a year. They're very familiar to us. We are used to hearing them read. But just to go into some of the things that I want to touch on, I've heard it said already that the covering is not a salvation issue. You will not hear me say that this morning. I want to establish the fact that it is indeed a commandment of Scripture and of God. And obedience to the commands of Scriptures is not necessarily what saves us. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, we are saved by the grace of God through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But in the same breath, I want to say that obedience to the commands of Scripture is an absolute essential to be in and to continue in a saved relationship with Jesus Christ. James 2:20 says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. So we need to follow the commands of Scripture to be in and continue in a saved relationship with our Lord Jesus. We know and agree here that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of Scripture to pen what the Lord wanted us to have and to read. And as the Apostle Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians 11 by the Holy Spirit's guidance, he also wrote in 1 Corinthians 14 by the Holy Spirit's guidance. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 14:37 and follow along as I read it, you're welcome to do that. It's just three chapters following 1 Corinthians 11 where the scriptural head covering is brought to us. It's 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. It says there, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So we establish the fact that the head covering is a commandment of the Lord. I know some feel like Corinthians, Paul was writing to the church of Corinth, and that was a cultural thing, and I didn't have the wording exactly, but if you go back to the earlier verses in 1 Corinthians, I think it says that it's unto all the saints. I'm not sure how it's worded there, but unto all the saints by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ who want to serve the Lord. So it's for each one of us, and it is a command of Scripture. John 14:21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. One of the blessings of following the commandments of Scripture is to have a relationship with the Lord. The more we follow the closer we follow the commandments of Scripture, the more I believe Jesus Christ will manifest himself unto us. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, and even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And I think one of the things that each one of us would want to be is a friend of the Lord Jesus. How about 1 John 2, verses 3 and 4? And it says there, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4 says, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So I would say, let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart through the Scripture as to whether you feel the head covering is a salvation issue or not. As for me, I choose to follow the commands of Scripture. I will not say that those women who claim to be Christians and do not wear a head covering are lost and going to hell. That's not for me to say. That is for the judge, the Lord Jesus. But after looking at God's word and reading from it and realizing John 12:48 says, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. My question would be, why would you even consider taking a chance? It's just not worth it. So we establish the fact that the head covering is scriptural, that it's a scriptural commandment. We just, for a brief time, want to look at style. There's a lot of chatter over the differences in the styles of head coverings. And I say again to look at verse 7 where it says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, but exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And I guess first of all, I'll say this to us men. First of all, I'll say there's a time when you wouldn't have me standing up here talking like this. But the Lord has worked in my heart. And the older I get, the more important I see it to hold fast. Lest at any time we let these things slip. To the men, there's a plain suit and there's a lapel coat and a tie. It's the tendency for some in plain churches to wear a tie or a bow tie with the lapel coat. I just ask you to consider this one thing. If the world around us wore the plain style coat, and the brethren of the conservative churches would be the ones that ask us to wear the tie or the bow tie, what would your tendency be then? You know what it is. It's an easy question to answer, but it's not that way. And the fact is that the tendency to wear a tie or bow tie is a tendency toward the world. There's just no other way to say it. As for the head covering, there's a movement in our time that when groups break away from traditional conservative churches to put on a different style of head covering for the sisters. Kind of a new thing. Been around the last 20 or 30 years or so. If you're wondering if I'm going to speak out against it, you're not going to hear that from me this morning. I realize that there are some differences in the way scriptural commands can be carried out in practice. I do believe that. I understand that. 1 Corinthians 12:5-6, I believe, would bear that out. Where it says there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And I'm not here to say that there's a one size, one style fits all across the world. So I guess some of what I want to say this morning would be specifically to us here as members of Pleasant Hill. I'm going to share my heart with you and tell you. Why I feel the way I feel. I've heard it said that some of the other styles of coverings are more scriptural or more spiritual than others. And I want this to be heard from both sides of the fence. The cap-style covering has gotten smaller in many cases. And no, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing here at church. It's not a good practice, specifically when it comes to following the commands of Scripture and that we are to be keepers of the commandments of God and that it is the commandment of God. And I've also been around long enough to see some of the other groups with other styles of head coverings that are supposedly more scriptural or more spiritual. They've also gotten smaller. In fact, I've seen some go to a wraparound. Then you have the little doilies where you can hardly see anything at all. So both styles have the same tendencies. If they are not practiced and kept to honor the commandments of Scripture and our Lord, that's the point I want to drive home. And I certainly hope that we're not wearing the head covering to make a statement or show how spiritual we are. That's not the point. God have mercy on us for doing that. God has set the order of headship in 1 Corinthians 11, which is God, Christ, man, and woman. We know those scriptures also. 1 Corinthians 11:10 says, "For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels." God honors humility and submission. And the angels of God are constantly watching over God's people. They observe our conduct. They hear our conversation. The Greek word translated power in 1 Corinthians 11:10 literally means a sign of authority. You see, submission and humility actually give authority. The head covering needs to be worn as a sign of the woman's subjection to God's command to his word and her submission in the order of headship given by our Lord. It's a sign that shows both heaven, the angels, and those on earth that she's willing to take her rightful place in God's divine order. Worn for the proper reasons, I believe it will be a tremendous blessing to you sisters, day by day. Worn for the wrong reasons, I suppose it would be somewhat of a burden. And I want to explain something by using a personal example. I don't like to do this. But I asked my wife for permission. I couldn't hear everything you were saying, Sister Rebecca, but I think some of it falls in line with what you were saying as you were speaking here earlier. I first of all would like to say again, verse 7 of 1 Timothy 4, the latter part says, "Exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Keep that in your mind. My wife grew up in a home that did not attend church. I'm not bragging about that. But I mention that to make a point. I pray for my wife just like you husbands pray for yours. And I knew that there were numerous things that happened that the Lord brought us together. She came to this church willingly, accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And as master of her life on her own. Willingly. She put the cap-style covering on in submission to the scriptural commandment and in submission to the desires of this body of believers here at Pleasant Hill. She then, maybe I better say we, had to go back and face her family, attend family events with her covering on. And I fully supported that decision. Was it easy for her or myself? No. Absolutely not. It's a challenge. That most of you here know absolutely nothing about. Some of you do, and I respect you greatly. But I want you to understand this. This towel of covering did not make one bit of difference to her family. Neither was going to her family functions with the cap style covering on her greatest challenge. Or mine. The greater challenge was proving that that head covering meant something. That there was a change that took place. It was more than simply saying, I'm a member of a conservative Christian congregation. It meant that when the snotty little comments came, and they did, from family members, that you had to act wisely, handle them wisely. That according to Scripture, in a Christ-like manner, that's what it meant. If we were going to first of all gain their respect and then possibly have an influence on the family, on their lives, you're not going to influence them without their respect. And I know we failed different times in those areas, but I am thankful that God's grace is sufficient to meet the needs as they come. When her father lay on his deathbed, and my father came in to see him just days before his life on this earth slipped away, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior in the hospital. And as the family sat in a small waiting room in the hospital, I had the opportunity, I had the privilege of telling them that he'd done that. That he accepted Jesus Christ. To hear one sister say, I'm so glad you told us. Now we know it's okay. They are the moments that make it all worthwhile. I said that to say this. Another style of head covering would not have made those situations any more spiritual, scriptural, or practical. So if those thoughts are in your mind, I'd say get them out. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And don't think for a moment that Satan can't work in a body of believers to cause division over something that is scriptural. He can. He can present himself as an angel of light. And we need to be very careful. The Lord hates those that sow discord among brethren, as recorded in Proverbs 6:19. It's there. The first one is a proud look. This body of believers here many years ago decided that for the sake of unity among the members here, we would follow the commandment of Scripture on the head covering with the cap style covering. We don't need to redefine what that means. I think we just need to practice it. By honoring the Lord and the commandment of Scripture and then submitting to the authority of the church leadership here. We don't want to practice these commandments in a small way. Size does matter. We can't be ashamed of our Lord. We know the consequences of that. If we're ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. We are blessed here with sisters who have stood firm in their commitment to follow the commandments of Scripture. And I'm thankful and pray God's blessing on each one of you as you go about from day to day. No, I know it's not easy. And sometimes it still isn't easy. Going back to family that just don't think the way you do. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And I think also for them. And also, 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know, there's a lot of things that you hear when situations are discussed involving doctrinal issues. And I just share this with you. I point my finger at nobody. But the statement was made already that if we're honoring the scripture, can we refuse certain practice? There's validity to that statement, but then I ask a question I want us to consider to go along with it. Why are there so many different denominations in this country? You know why. There's a lot of different opinions on what really honors the commands of Scripture. That's why. I just want to warn us here. I am concerned that we honor the commands of Scripture and be unified and not end up with a variety pack in any of the doctrinal issues. When we start making changes and exceptions, we go down the casual road. Then comes casual clothing, and that ball usually don't stop until it's flat. So we need to be on our guard. We've been blessed here with a good and godly heritage. Let's hold fast to that which is good. Revelation 2:25 says, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, 16, and 17 says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Also, again, one of the text verses, the last verse that Brother George read in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. My prayer and challenge for us today is that we would be keepers of the commandments and exercise ourselves rather unto godliness. May the God of all grace help us to do just that.
We invite the congregation to stand as we approach the throne of God in prayer.